One great way that I've seen leaders approach this is instead of count down the time it takes to get everybody back in the office and have everybody vaccinated, but to actually think of how can they maximize this opportunity? How can you take the fact that remote work is required right now and leverage it to have a competitive advantage, to make people more efficient?
Hey, it's Adam Schoenfeld. Welcome back to the Built in Seattle podcast, where Seattle's top entrepreneurs, investors, and leaders share their stories and their lessons from behind the scenes. If you like this show, you might also like my personal newsletter. Each week, I share a lesson, a question, or an idea that I've picked up while learning from others. Subscribe at adaminseattle.com. On this episode, I met with Gordon Hempton. He's the CEO and co-founder at Spot.xyz. And Gordon has already been successful as a co-founder. He was part of the founding team at Outreach, which is now a multi-billion dollar company. And he's gone all the way back to the very early stage, back to writing code, raising seed, and recruiting those early hires. So we got to hear about that journey, what he's learned, what he's doing different, and why he wanted to go back to the early stage. We also get to hear a very thoughtful perspective on remote work, because that's the space that Spot is playing in. I hope you enjoy the conversation. I'm here with the one, the only, Gordon Hempton. Hey, Gordon, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Adam. Great to be here.
Yeah, thanks for being here. It's been a long time since we've caught up, since the early days of Outreach.
It's been a long time. And even before that, back in the group talent era.
I know, that's right. Yeah. I'm excited to hear a little bit about what's happened in the last 8 or 9 years.
Oh, man. It's been a long time.
Yeah. It's been a minute. You've, you know, co-founded Outreach back in 2013, I believe, which now has become this amazing company. And I'm curious to just start by asking, what were some of the things that you did in the early days of Outreach that you think really led to the success it's had today?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think I would say the number one thing is that the culture. We had a great founding team with Wes, Manny, and Andrew. But really, we had such a powerful culture, and that kind of spread even, you know, beyond just us founders. And we had some really good company values and just great energy. And I think that really spread to the early hires as well. And we were able to bring on some really incredible people. So I think really having a very introspective approach and really just thinking about who we are and what we're doing and the culture we have, that was such a powerful part of the early days of Outreach that I always remember. Also, just having a deep appreciation for our customers, which we have to this day. That's something I really took from the Outreach experience.
Yeah. How intentional were you guys about that at the onset?
You know, when it comes to culture, like we had a lot of ceremony, actually. Like every Friday, we would go out for drinks, and that eventually evolved into kind of an offshoot of something we did at Techstars, which was we had something called Boot, where we just went around and just drank a beer, non-alcoholic beverage, and just said a hi or a low, or just a shout out to other people on the team. And we just did a lot of kind of things on a regular basis that I think helped us come together as a team. And so, yeah, it was definitely a big part of that early experience.
Nice. Having already co-founded one unicorn, what kind of got you back to the very, very early stage of, you know, building another company?
Yeah, that's a good question. Like, and I think a lot of it comes to why I ultimately left Outreach about a year ago now. And for me, I've always been somebody who really loves the really early days. They're not easy, but I look back at the earliest days of Outreach as some of my fondest moments. And when it came down to it, like I think timing was really great. There's never a perfect time to leave your baby, but I think it was as good a time as ever. We just brought in some really good leadership on the product engineering front in particular. And so we really have a great team in place to take it to the next level. And so for me, though, the timing was right. And I've always felt I wanted to jump in another startup. And that's, for me, it was a no-brainer. Like, I was going to do another startup. I think it was just a matter of what and when. And I think that's really what it came down to.
Why do you think it was that you were already committed to doing another startup? Like, how is that already what you're thinking about next?
Yeah, it's just what you enjoy. I think it's just who I am. Like, I love working on stuff. Like, I've basically my entire professional life has just been one startup after another. And, you know, it's a journey, and you got to pick the right journey that really resonates with you. And for me, it's doing startups. And then totally.
Did anybody, when you're in this transition, was anybody like, Gordon, you're crazy. Why do you want to go back to the pain of the early stage? Or did you have any people, like close advisors, friends, who were like, couldn't wrap their heads around this decision?
Yeah, it was certainly a question I got a lot, is why would you leave outreach that was, you know, on such a rocket ship trajectory? And I kind of staged it such that leaving and doing a startup were two separate entities. Like it wasn't a singular conversation. It was two things. And I think when it comes to startups in general, I love the early problem set, and the later stage problem set outreach has today is just so fundamentally different that it's independent of wanting to do another startup. I think it's just not something that truly is what I want to do. And is, I think that was a factor as well.
Yeah. I'm curious, as you get back to this stage, what's changed the most about you when you look at yourself 8 years ago founding Outreach versus now as the founder of Spot? Like, what's changed in your approach or how you're going about addressing these kind of early stage problems?
Oh, dude, so much has changed, both like physically and my mindset. I think I approach almost everything different. I think one of the things that is surprising actually this time around is how having outreach under my belt in some ways has actually made things a little bit hard doing a second startup. Because I think one thing earlier on when I was working my first startups, I really had nothing to lose and I was so all in. It was like my friends were off rising the ranks at Google and Microsoft, and I was just focused on a startup that was my first couple went nowhere, and just you're really all in. It's like when Napoleon, he landed on the shores and burnt his ships, and it's just, you have such a powerful fire under you to really a lot of really meaningful skin in the game. And this time around, it's difficult to create that same sense of pressure because if you have to, it's not something that, you know, that pressure you have to instill yourself and do that. And so that's something that is quite a bit different. And but more generally, I think I've learned a lot, and I'd like to think that I can apply a lot of that to the next startup that I do.
Yeah. What's one of the principles or big things that you've learned that you are applying now at Spot?
I think I mentioned it before, like some of the I took from Outreach, but just deep appreciation for our customers. I know that Manny might say that we're not even selling a product. We're really, at the end of the day, we're selling the success of our customers and just being so invested in them and just having a really, just treating that as a foundation of whatever you do, because at the end of the day, that's really it. And yeah.
How does that actually show up? If we were going to, we can sit in your company through Spot, but if we were going to show up and watch you operating now, how does that like deep appreciation for customers actually show up in the early stages when you're maybe getting your first paying customers, working through your beta users, doing customer discovery? What does it look like?
And that's a really good question. I think it's more of just a intentional kind of thought process where, you know, as we think about our customers, even the smallest customers, we treat with a lot of deference and just give a lot of time and presence to all customers, especially at this stage. And just really, I think one thing we really had at Outreach that we have at Spot today is at Outreach, we were using Outreach to sell Outreach. And a lot of our biggest customers were internal, and we could just have a really close feedback loop. And similarly with Spot, we use Spot for everything. When we use it for all of our internal and external communication. And so I think one of the ways to be really close to your customer is to be your customer. And, but then also I think it gives you a sense of empathy and really feeling the same things that your customers are feeling.
Nice. Yeah. I love that as a principle, kind of you're there with them. What are some of the things that you're, you know, intentionally doing differently this time
around? That's also a really good question. So if you know what Outreach is, you can probably guess Outreach is a very sales-led company, or many might success-led. But one of the things Wes and I are doing, because Wes and I were big product and engineering people, is we're taking more of a product-led approach. We really want to build the product, have a really powerful self-sign-up. And which, by the way, Outreach doesn't have self-sign-up. You go through a salesperson. But even earlier on, Outreach didn't have self-sign-up then, but a lot of our competitors did have self-sign-up. but they've since changed and gone through, they now have a sales wall. So not to say that you have to be a product-led company or its outreach necessarily would have been better off as a product-led company. It's more just this time, I think the nature of our product and space, like just having really strong product-led approach where, you know, it's really easy to get started. Just things like sign up and the experience are very much led by the product as opposed to bringing people or using people to solve the problem. Also, you know, just in a similar vein, things like operational efficiency and billing and all that kind of stuff, like solving it with product and engineering early on and just setting those foundations in place as opposed to scaling really quickly and throwing a lot of people at the problem.
Nice. How does product-led growth is such a hot topic right now? When you guys were coming up with the concept for Spot and thinking about the business model, did you have, we want to build a product-led growth company as a guardrail? Or was that sort of a second step question after you figured out like the market and the problem that you wanted to work out to see if that model would be a fit?
I think it was always a thought. We always wanted to be a product-led company, or we always wanted to, you know, actually have a really a very product-centric approach. But I don't think that was the driving factor in what we were building. In fact, I really had a ton of appreciation for sales and the way you can build a company using tools like outreach. I would have loved to have a very simple product where we could just have a very clear-cut motion of selling into companies and signing annual contracts and things like that. I think a lot of it depends on the nature of the problem and who you're trying to address. Part of this is we're taking a very bottoms-up approach. We're really trying to just get in the hands of a lot of people and make that as easy as possible rather than selling into a company. And yeah, so it wasn't the number one thing, but we're very much, we like that aspect of it.
What have you had to relearn as you've gone back to the early stage, like rolling up your sleeves? Are you actually back to writing code and doing all the, you know, nitty gritty of getting the product off the ground? Or what's been interesting about getting back to this point?
Yeah, I'm definitely writing a lot of code. I was writing code at Outreach too until the very end. Yeah, I think the biggest thing that I've had to relearn is just how hard it is to hire at the earliest stages of a company, mm-hmm. especially right now. There are, you know, a lot of the people that I know and people I've talked to, especially if you're a pretty senior engineer, they just command such ridiculous salaries, and it's very challenging to sell somebody on a very early stage company and also offer them less money at the same time. And so that, you know, that's just something that is a very different dynamic at the earliest stages than it is when you've, you know, raised a lot of money and you have something that is already a clear-cut rocket ship, and it's just a very different dynamic.
What do those conversations look like?
That's a good question. A lot of it is talking to somebody who, you know, works at a big company, and we talk and they're interested and we hit it off. And then we eventually broach the topic of like, what's a number that makes sense to you? And then currently all up and making like 500 or something like that. And it's, whoa, that's a ton. And then it becomes a conversation about equity, and it's, and you really got to paint the value of just, I think you ultimately have to find people who aren't purely incentivized by their take home. They got to really sell the culture and the ability to help influence the culture and build the earliest team and make foundational technology decisions and things like that. But it's challenging because I think especially people who have families and are just in different situations, money is a very central topic. And so that could be, it's interesting.
Yeah, it strikes me that right now with the amount of seed funding in the market and where valuations are, and there's maybe never been an easier time to raise, but that also puts a lot of pressure on recruiting and customer acquisition. All these other things are maybe getting harder. Does it feel like even harder now based on the market with having to recruit people than it did 7-8 years ago? Or is it, you know, pretty similar dynamic?
I think it feels harder for sure. I think it's not easy by any means. And I do think having outreach helps a little bit, just to say we've built a unicorn, we fully intend on doing it again, come join us. I think there's a lot of competition right now. Like it feels like there's more competition than ever. And I think that's even in a lot of ways more true now that the playing field's been leveled and, you know, most companies are hiring remotely. It's just a very competitive time to hire. And it's also just difficult to find people because there's just a lot of noise in the market as well. And finding the right people is difficult.
Yeah, that's what are you doing to break through the noise and get to the right people, right? Or how do you, as a founder, suss out, like, who are the kinds of people that might be willing to do the startup thing in the risk reward versus like those people where the conversation is a dead end and they're just, you know, not going to get past the big company salary trade-off?
That generally gets sussed out pretty early, but I don't think that's actually the number one reason why you wouldn't hire somebody. I think it just makes the conversations difficult. Like, money's never truly an obstacle for the right person. I think getting past that and finding somebody who is truly the right fit for the company, both culturally and technically. And
okay. Yeah. I'd love to maybe change gears and talk a little more about like Spot and the problem you're solving and how you arrived at this, because there's this hot space around digital work, remote work. What was the genesis of the idea and how do you find this problem?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's always been something that's been on my mind a little bit. Like, actually, when I was a kid, when I look back, like, some of my most meaningful memory and connections to people were actually formed online through gaming and things like that. And it wasn't really necessarily the game mechanic itself. It was more just having a shared environment and a place to interact with people. And then as an adult, a lot of my more meaningful relationships have come from my work environment. Manny, Andrew, Wes, like, obviously founding Outreach, but just more generally, I think you develop so much through your work environment. And then finding ourselves in this remote world, that doesn't feel like the case. Like, tools like Zoom and Slack just don't create that same level of connection. And then having built Outreach and led teams, I actually have experienced firsthand how critical that is for companies as well. Like, actually, Adam, I was listening to your first podcast with Manny yesterday, and he was talking about the early days of Outreach and how we started off as group talent and we pivoted and it was the four of us. And he was talking about how vital the founder energy was early on and just that culture. We were at one point, we were at the point where we were inventorying our furniture, and then we came together and as a group kind of decided to keep going. And I couldn't imagine how that would have gone if we were remote. First off, because we're remote, you know, we wouldn't have any furniture to inventory. But, you know, secondly, I don't know if we would have actually stuck together and continued on in our journey. And I'm really glad that it turned out the way it did. And in my mind, like, I just think that connection and just having like a truly engaged workplace and team is just so critical. And it just doesn't exist in the remote world we're in today, particularly if you don't have any connection prior to that. And so what Spot is a culmination of a lot of product and engineering and research from Wes and I for a while to really build a solution to that problem. We're trying to really recreate a highly engaged workplace. And so very simply, it's just a place where you can see everybody, see who's meeting with who, get that office context, talk to them with a click of a button. But that's just the beginning. There's a whole long tail of just cool stuff you can do with Spot. You can have events, you can take sales calls. There's a sales gong. It's just all sorts of stuff that kind of just creates this really great experience. So
what's different about the shared environment you're creating versus the tools that people know and use commonly, like maybe Slack, Zoom, Loom, things you're putting these tools together? Maybe you have a wiki. How does this kind of idea of the shared environment look and feel different than what people might be used to in the remote work context?
Yeah, I think a big part of it is actually giving a spatial representation and creating a sense of place, if you will. So like really creating I actually personally think there's something really fundamental to the human brain about place. I read a book a while back, I don't know if you read it, like Moonwalking with Einstein, where a journalist becomes the world memory champion, and he, you know, does that. The way they do that is they construct memory palaces, and just that geometric representation really, really enables them to do really cool things. But I think just more generally, I think having a sense of place is very sacred and just a big part of being human. And I think having a place that really grounds the team, and not just being a geometric object, but also showing where people are in that place. You can see other people actually engaging and, you know, emoting and doing funny stuff in meetings in other rooms. And I think that's just a very different experience than just seeing a flat list of names in 50 to hundreds of channels in Slack or something like Teams. Kind of reminds me, like, as an engineer and working at outreach early on, especially in the early group talent days, I might be heads down, just focused on building product. And I could look up and look through a glass window and see Manny making sales calls or meeting with investors. And even though I'm not even a part of those meetings, I think just knowing that stuff is taking place and feeling like I could actually drop in if I wanted to is a really engaging aspect of a workplace that I think is very much absent from those other tools.
How close do you feel like you're able to get it with the digital environment to that feeling of a true physical workspace? I don't know how to think about this, like a spectrum of we're in the room together physically drinking our cold brew from the tap versus we really just have Slack and Zoom with no video. And like, how far along that spectrum are you able to push the experience?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think first off, like the one thing we certainly can't do is insulate you from your children. That's something that a workplace really will never have. But I think we're not trying to actually replicate a workplace to a T. We're not going through this true, perfectly skeuomorphic office. It's really all about opening up different dimensions of communication. I think you're not looking at people and seeing their body language yet and seeing them move around, but you are looking at them and seeing, you know, them representing their status and emotional state in all sorts of different ways. Like you can emote, you can change your avatar, you can just where you are in the office. Are you sitting on the couch? Are you sitting at your desk? Or do you have your headphones on? All of those are different pieces of information that are captured inside of Spot. Plus also just embedding things that the organization cares about inside the environment itself. Like in Spot, we actually have metrics and dashboards. We have engineering metrics on the walls that anybody can glance and look up in the environment itself. Just creating that proximal awareness of all of these things that are happening, I think creates an experience that I think binds people together and is a little bit, has similar levels of cohesiveness as being in a physical office, but it is very different. Like it's not exactly like being in a physical office.
I see. So it's not trying to exactly replicate it, but it's like the emotion, the experience that you'd get from like walking by the sales screen and seeing the closed one going up or somebody hitting the gong or walking by a room where the CEO is doing a podcast interview. Like maybe you can get some of those things happening in the digital world.
Yeah. And just creating shared experiences that I think are really meaningful. Like, you know, our company has a lot of culture and we'll have just spontaneous interactions that I think ultimately add up to something really meaningful. Is it like pretending to eat pizza on National Pizza Day? Or there's all sorts of things that I think are really powerful when taken as a whole.
What's the category that you think of Spot playing in? There's been a lot of innovation in this area of like digital work and remote work. And I know at Outreach, you guys created this sales engagement category, or maybe you and a couple others put some terminology around it. How do you think about like category design or where you play today?
Yeah, but I think there is a budding category here. And I think it's something, I mean, I don't know what to call it exactly. I think early on, like Outreach, people were tossing around the terms like high velocity sales and things like that. But I think right now, I think the key element of the category is having something spatial and having a meaningful interaction around a place. And there are lots of other companies popping up in the doing similar things. I also think categorically, there's kind of things like VR and AR floating around in this way. But we believe that much like AI, I think initially it just has to be a super accessible tool that lands in the hands of as many people as possible and is as widely distributed as possible. And then things like VR, I think, can progressively enhance this category. And they might be part of the same category ultimately, but really just creating, you know, a spatial awareness for teams and organizations. And even beyond that, just connecting orgs and teams together.
You had a great 2x2 on your website pre-launch. I can't remember. Can you remind me what were the dimensions of that and how you placed Zoom and Slack and Spot? And then I'm curious if that's still the way you map out the broader ecosystem.
Yeah. Let me think. I think it was like one axis was like utilitarian versus heavyweight. And then the other one was, I think, God, what was the other axis? It was personal, personal. So I think the two dimensions there were just, is it just a tool that's used for raw communication, or is it another thing that kind of brings culture and personality? And I think those are, I think, one of the tricky things about a spot in like a virtual office is I think there are a lot of, it's difficult to represent the value prop along a single axis. So I think those two axes that are laid out in the original page, I think still hold true, but I think there are more axes as well. Like there's a very long tail of value that I think being in the same place as somebody provides. And so, yeah, so I do think that does hold true. That
yeah. Okay. I thought that was great. I loved it when I first saw it and how you laid it out. What have been some of the like use cases that you've seen or kind of moments of people like experiencing Spot that have surprised you?
Yeah, I think one of the really cool things that I see happen a lot are people who just spontaneously interact who otherwise totally wouldn't interact. So, you know, be it I bring somebody in to meet in Spot and we actually walk around the office, which, yeah, Adam, I'm happy to give you a tour after this and you can walk around. And then some people start talking and somebody might just move off into a separate room and people might just have a conversation. And they weren't actually, there was no scheduled conversation. There wasn't a Zoom meeting booked. It was an actual spontaneous conversation that would otherwise have never happened. Like, for instance, if I saw a Zoom link just sitting somewhere and I didn't know what it was, I would never follow that Zoom link.
Oh, of course not. But that would be the scariest thing ever.
Yeah, I'd be like, what are we about to go on? And am I Zoom bombing? I think having in Spot, you see a lot more interactions that kind of happen like that, where people just start meeting, people have a conversation. And I think what ultimately happens is people have less scheduled meetings and more spontaneous meetings. And I think it's ultimately very much more natural and in a lot of ways more efficient because you're not starting your day looking at an exhaustive list of Zoom links. It's, you know, a much more, there's a lot of magic there. Plus just seeing people have fun when we have events and we've done talks and meetups and things inside of Spot and just seeing people get really engaged and pumped up and people are emoting and just doing lots of, just seeing people like really charged up about it, I think is really cool. And those two things for sure.
Yeah, there's a lot more there than just the Brady Bunch Zoom screen that you see when you're in one of those large meetings. It has a much different vibe than that dynamic in terms of like how people react and how you experience that. I imagine that as you've entered this space, you've had a lot of CEOs, leaders, others talking to you about just remote work and how they approach this. When you are talking to folks who are like lost on this, like, what do I do for my company? What should we do now post COVID? How do you think leaders should start that conversation?
That's a good question. I think secretly most CEOs, or actually I think it's very polarized, but I think there's a big chunk of CEOs who just secretly want everything to go back to the way it was, be completely normal. COVID never happened as quickly as possible. And so I think my personal opinion is the reality isn't going to be that. I think there is going to be a fundamental shift here. And I think one great way that I've seen leaders approach this is instead of count down the time it takes to get everybody back in the office and have everybody vaccinated, but to actually use this, think of how can they maximize this opportunity? How can you take the fact that remote work is required right now and leverage it to have a competitive advantage to make people more efficient? Can we expand our hiring pool? Can we get access to talent we weren't considering before? Can we save costs on office space? Can we use our own culture and technology to give us a competitive advantage that we don't think our competitors could have in the same situation? And so I think seeing some CEOs lean into this, I think is really, really cool to see. And I think that's how to think about it, is how do you, change is always going to happen, like in the current environment that we're in. How can you make the most of it and potentially even be stronger for it? How can you be a company that becomes better through this stress as opposed to actually struggling and then hopefully recovering?
Who are some of the companies that you're following or learning from that you think have done a good job of that, of like leaning into it and turning it into an opportunity for differentiation or competitive advantage in some dimension?
Yeah, there's a lot of companies that were already remote. And so I think they're in strong positions right now. Mm-hmm. GitLab and WordPress, are just lots of them. I think, and I actually don't want to dig into any companies in particular, but I think just seeing lots of companies react quickly makes them pretty, at the time, like some companies at the earliest days of COVID quickly, without thinking, just announced very lengthy work from home policies, and we're just very aggressive at canceling in-person conferences, all that kind of stuff. I think just being, just leaning into the fact that things are changing and reacting early, I think is one of the best ways to handle it. And I think it opens the door for stronger reasoning down the line to actually go beyond just working from home, but how do we maximize the situation? You know, there's a lot of companies, a lot of tech companies have actually leaned in pretty well.
Yeah. So speed and decisiveness has been a big factor. Any other factors that you've seen across those tech companies that are doing it well, or any ways they've approached it that you think others should keep top of mind?
I think being very intentional about things like culture and, you know, having people specifically tasked to solve the culture problem and the work from home kind of environment manager. I can't remember what I've seen these titles, but just people who are really thinking about this as a problem and trying to come up with really innovative solutions and actually resourcing that as opposed to just thinking of it as a road.
That's interesting. So you're actually seeing roles being created around, you know, people who are dedicated to designing and thinking about how we, the environment and the culture maps to remote.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It makes sense because you have those roles in an office environment, right? Like you have office managers and people who are creating the experience, employee experience folks in the physical office. So that's exciting. I hadn't seen much of that. We'll have to do some more reading on that. I'd like to go now to the rapid fire round, Gordon, the supersonic six. Number one, how much coffee do you drink?
Coffee, I'd say about 2 to 4 cups a day, mostly in the morning and occasionally a cup in the afternoon. Used to do bulletproof coffee, but not so much anymore.
Number two, what's one other Seattle company that you're following or studying right now?
I want to say Remitly. And I think there's just some nostalgia there as they were in the same Techstars class as Outreach, and they're also a fellow Seattle unicorn. So I was excited to see all their progress, and it's just really cool to, I'm following their success pretty closely.
Number three, who's one Seattle person that you're following or learning from right now?
It might be a little lame, but I'm actually going to say Manny, just because Manny is such a force of nature and it's really amazing to see him in action. And I'm totally rooting for him from the sidelines.
Awesome. And for listeners, Manny Medina was episode 1 and Matt Oppenheimer from Remitly was episode 11, I believe. So go back and have a listen to those. Number four, what's the one thing that Seattle needs to improve as a startup hub?
I think a lot of people probably say capital here, but I actually think it's definitely talent. I spent a lot of time talking to UW CSE grads because I was an alumni there and I've done some talks there. And there's just a totally different attitude that talent has here, where they're much more inclined to go work at FANGs than their counterparts down in the Bay Area. And I think I would love to see Seattle get a lot better at just having that cultural drive to do startups and work at early stage companies as opposed to go work at Amazon.
Number five, what's one piece of advice you'd give your 20-year-old self?
I would tell my 20-year-old self to focus, think about my health and think a little bit more holistically about well-being. I think it's really easy to overlook those things when you're younger, just because you feel invincible. But imagine how much ass you could kick if you were really focused on your health back then. And so that would be my advice.
Number six, what can this community do to help you? Do you have any call to action for a list, job posts, or anything you want people to go look at?
Yeah, so the main thing that could help would be everybody listening to this podcast, please go to spot.xyz and sign up. You can sign up by yourself and invite your team and try it out. And then let me know how it goes and send me some direct feedback at gordon@spot.xyz.
Awesome. Well, everybody go check that out. And thank you so much, Gordon, for your time. It's been fun to catch up.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Adam. It was a lot of fun.
Hey, it's Adam again. Quick note before you go.
Thanks so much for listening. I hope you're enjoying the show as much as I am enjoying making it. If you do like it, please leave a rating or a review. That would help other people find it in Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. And if you have any feedback, send me an email, adamseattlepodcast@gmail.com. No underscores, no periods, just adamseattlepodcast@gmail.com.